welcome to this podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, exploring aspects of our life and witness at this time.
We're back today with another conversation as part of our Let's Talk series. And basically, right throughout the autumn, we're trying to hone in on different issues that cut right across the life of our congregations. Last time out, Neil hosted a really brilliant conversation about church rehabilitation. And today we're going to focus on the theme of Bible engagement. My name is Rick Hill. I'm PCI's Discipleship Development Officer, and I'm your host for this episode. Now, we might assume that this is a given within our churches. We might describe ourselves as a word-centered church, and the Bible is something that's part and parcel of what we do, whether on Sundays or throughout the week. But today I want to explore how we can develop in our Bible engagement, because recent research has indicated that the average Christian in the West has 11 Bibles in their home, and yet less than 50% of churchgoers admit to reading their Bible regularly. So we live in a time where access to the Bible has never been higher, and yet we're told, it seems, that readership of the Bible is in decline. And add to that events of the last 18 months where our patterns of Bible engagement with others has been paused at times and disrupted at best. So how are we actually doing when it comes to engaging with the Bible, and how can we sharpen our practice? To explore this, I invited Richard McChesney from White Abbey Presbyterian Church and Valerie Murphy of Precepts Ministries to have a chat with me about this. And I think you'll find their reflections really intriguing, as well as finding out more about some specific projects they're involved in. So here's the conversation. Well, I'm delighted to be joined today by Valerie Murphy and Richard McChesney. Thanks, guys, for joining me. We're going to talk a little bit together about the whole area of Bible engagement. So why don't we just start by having you, first of all, just introduce yourselves to us, maybe tell us who you are and maybe what you're doing in this whole area of Bible engagement as well. Valerie, do you want to go first?
Okay. Well, it's really, really nice to be part of this recording, and it's something I'm very excited about. I am married to Graham, a retired teacher. I have four married children and seven grandchildren who take up quite a bit of time and effort. I worked as a nurse for about 25 years, became a Christian when I was about 10. And during my teens and 20s, was very actively involved in a lot of Christian union and mission and stuff. But in my mid-30s, went through a real spiritual crisis. And the whole thing was, I had no idea how to have a relationship with God for myself anymore. And it was really through meeting, but being involved with Focus Fest and Evangelical Ministries, meeting a couple of women who really knew how to study the Bible for themselves. And they took me under their wing and mentored me. And together we ended up writing a 6-week course called Digging Deeper to help people to start to engage with the Bible for themselves. Because we saw that the more we talked about it, the more people come out of the woodwork and say, I don't know how to do this. And people weren't being honest because they thought they were the only one that struggled in the whole area of engaging with the Bible for themselves. So since that time, really the last 30 years, my life has been really focused on helping people to study the Bible for themselves through ministry. I'm involved in a ministry that's inductive Bible study and teaching people how to study. I've been involved in doing some work in Belfast Bible College with Women's Study Fellowship. I was one of the lecturers there for a number of years, again on Bible engagement. And I'm involved in my own church, helping the women in church engage with the Bible at different levels. So it's kind of become my one thing, encouraging people that they can study the Bible for themselves, and it's for everybody.
Brilliant, Valerie. Yeah, no, that's great. And you're definitely well-versed and well-placed to contribute to this conversation today. So thanks for that. Richard, do you want to do the same?
Yeah, well, I'm Richard McChesney. I live in Jordanstown, just quite close to the university. I've been a member in White Abbey Presbyterian for 40 plus years and been an elder there for a good chunk of that time. I'm clerk of session at the moment. And I suppose my link or my credentials for being part of this discussion here today are probably a little bit different from Valerie's, and as much as I've come to the Bible engagement thing through, I suppose, a work context. My background was in the Christian publishing and distribution world, and through a contact a couple of years ago, I picked up threads with a few publishing folks who invited me to be part of a project that they were involved in called Immerse, which I can talk about a little bit later on. So it's in that context, I suppose, I've taken on a role as a church's coordinator for that. And interesting, as part of that role, I met with Valerie a few weeks ago to talk about what I'm involved about. So it's quite an interesting dynamic here today, because I think it was Valerie who said we're coming at this from two completely opposite directions, which I think we can elaborate on as we go through the conversation.
Brilliant. I'm glad that you guys have already been chatting about the whole area of Bible engagement together, and I appreciate you letting me gatecrash your conversation today to maybe ask some questions of both of you as well. I mean, in some ways, maybe people who are listening to this and maybe they think of the Presbyterian Church in Ireland and they think, well, we hold the Bible in high esteem. We're a word-centered church. So Mary, what's the issue here? Why do you think, and maybe Richard, starting with you in terms of your experience of PCI and your congregation, why do you think the issue of Bible engagement is both critical and important at this time?
Well, I suppose it's the word engagement is the key thing. I mean, I speak as one who certainly wouldn't class myself as a biblical scholar, but the word is engagement, I think. Reading it is one thing. We can read a novel, but not engage with it. And I think sometimes Bible reading can fall into that category. We maybe have our daily notes, or we have our routines, maybe following some sort of a guide. And I think it's quite a natural thing sometimes to fall into this. I'm reading my Bible, but am I engaging with it? What's the impact that it's having? I think when you start to engage with Scripture and you start to apply it, then it has implications. Now, that's not to say that people aren't engaging with Scripture. Obviously, people are. But I think generally speaking, there probably is a prevalence of reading rather than engaging. And I think that's where the difference is.
Yeah. In many ways, in many of our churches, the Bible's being heard, it's being preached, it's being taught. But actually, for our lens today is, how are we helping people to engage with it? Absolutely, Richard. Thanks. Valerie, do you want to add to that or bring your perspective in?
Yeah, it's interesting thinking these questions through, but I think it's probably because of what I believe to be true about the Bible, why I believe it is so critical and important, because it is God speaking, that God is our creator, that he is revealing himself through Scripture. It's the way he has chosen to make himself most known. I know there are other ways he reveals himself. And so without understanding him, nothing about our world makes sense. And so I think the Bible needs to be read because of who is actually speaking. I think it was Eugene Peterson said, we don't so much read it as listen to it. And I think what Richard just said there, that we read the Bible as words and information, but actually what he wants us to do is he wants to be heard. It's not just a question of learning subjects and theology, but actually steeping ourselves in a person and developing a relationship with somebody who wants to be a part of our lives. So I see it much more on as a way that we listen to the voice of God in our lives, and how we engage with God is through the text of Scripture. And we do that in a number of ways. But yet in church, I know Bible Society in UK did a survey recently, and something like 5% of people who attend church engage in any sort of regular way with Scripture. And out in the world today, the Bible is being completely undermined, its truth, its standards, everything. And so I do think that this is so critical for us as the church, that we engage with Scripture, that we know God through it, and we become Bible confident so that we know what we believe and why we believe it.
Yeah, if I could just chip in, one of the stats I came across recently, a survey was done in terms of how people engage with the local church and what was expected from the local church and how they felt the local church was meeting their expectations. And it was something like 87% of the people replied the one thing they wanted from their local church was to help to engage and understand the Bible better. The other side of that coin was, well, of that, how many of you actually feel your church is achieving that? And I think only 19% responded that they felt that that assistance was there. So there is this, I suppose, engagement gap. And I think that's what we're all trying to do is to get people to engage.
Yeah. And I know, you know, we have a phrase in PCI, good Bible teaching churches or people being good Bible teachers. But I wonder, you know, if we've also, the need is actually for us to become Bible learning churches, you know, where people are equipped to handle God's word for themselves. Of course, we want good Bible teachers, but it's not just reliant on the Bible teachers, but it's actually the emphasis is also on a community of Bible receivers as well. And I wonder if that would feed into what we do. So, Valerie, you used a lovely little phrase, I think. I mean, those stats are quite maybe shocking and stark, but you used a lovely little phrase about becoming Bible confident. I'm wondering, maybe from the thinking and work you've done in this area, what are some of the key principles you think a church could be thinking through or putting into practice in terms of becoming more Bible confident?
Certainly, I think that the way people receive the Word of God is mainly through the Sunday sermon. You know, in the majority of churches, although there are some that are different, and 25, 30-minute sermon, maybe even less than that per week, is not a good educational learning mechanism. It's passive learning where you probably remember about 5 to 10% of what you hear, and there's no opportunity to engage with it either through question, through discussion, through application. So I think we need to think through how are we teaching Bible in church. I think was it Dallas Willard said, you know, we'll never stay clean on a cup of water a week. And Colossians 3 talks about, you know, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And that means abundantly. And there should be this liberality and abundance of scripture that we're feeding and soaking ourselves in. And for a lot of people, that doesn't happen. And I do think that the whole clergy-laity divide has fed into that, you know, post-Reformation, I suppose that's the development of church life. But the minister is educated and the minister knows how to read the Bible, so we listen to the minister. Yeah, obviously you want them to listen to the minister, but I think they don't realise that under New Covenant, you know, we're all going to know him personally. He says, everyone will know me from the least to the greatest for themselves. And so I think we need to some way make people understand that this is for them to engage with for themselves and give them even simple skills that can help them to get into it and start to hear God speak to themselves from the word, because that's what will give them the passion for more.
And if I could just interject there, Valerie talked there about the cup of water. You wouldn't expect that to last for a full week. The project that I'm involved in is called Immerse. And by definition, it's about immersing yourself in the word and letting it, letting you absorb it in its entirety, letting it wash over you. And really, the phrase the guys on the project keep talking about is diving deep into scripture. So that's the sort of the drink. And now the food analogy is in one of the guys that I've been working with, last year, I had a meal with Philip Yancey, believe it or not, and he coined the phrase that's become a little bit of a thing with me, that over the years, the church has existed on a diet of Bible McNuggets. We've snacked on little bits of the Bible, when in fact, we have a four-course banquet sitting in front of us, and instead of sitting down to feast on that, we've snacked on a verse here and maybe a chapter there and a theme there. And that's, I think there's a wealth of opportunity there to get people to approach scripture with that big picture rather than approaching, I'm going to study these three verses for the next, whatever it is, to approach with this big, this huge banquet table in front of us. and really diving deep in. So we can elaborate on that a wee bit.
Yeah, well, let's do that now, Richard, because that's a good segue. And, you know, in terms of then tell us about Immerse. You're involved in it, how you're trying to serve the church through it.
Yeah, it comes from there is a little bit of historical thread here. Some folks will have been familiar in recent years with the Community Bible Experience, and it's the same team effectively that created that have developed Immerse. And I suppose there's three key principles that have informed the work that they do, of getting away from reading in fragments to reading substantial portions of Scripture in context, and doing it in community was the three guiding principles behind it. And they set about creating a text that would facilitate that. So this is where it was an interesting discussion I had with Valerie a few weeks ago when I met with her, you know, where the inductive study method that she would tend to use would look at chapters and verses and work through those in detail, where Immerse says, let's start at the beginning and just read substantial chunks together. So they come up with this model of an open-ended facilitating discussion model. So after you've read your substantial piece of text, what stood out for you? Was there anything confusing or troubling in the text that you struggled with? Did anything make you think or feel differently about God as a result of what you read? And how might this passage, or how might this in turn change how you live your life? So that's what it really helps people engage who maybe struggled even just with the literary format of the Bibles that we have, where you have chapters, verses, footnotes, cross references, color code. For somebody coming to the Scripture, for example, new, that can be quite an off-putting thing. So the key model, I suppose, it was maybe a move from a Bible study group method to a book group reading method. And that those are the sort of the principles that have underpinned what they're trying to achieve.
Richard, I'm just kind of anticipating maybe what listeners might be thinking, or people who are new to this as well. And I suppose it sounds like a shift. You know, suddenly we've maybe all our lives we've engaged with the Bible with chapters, verses in a certain order. You know, can you help us with that a little bit, or maybe just even respond to some fears even people might have that this sounds like, well, it's taking the Bible away from what we know it as, but actually it's coming back to what it was in its early form. But help us with that.
Yeah, from what I've gleaned since I've been engaged in the project is the chapter and verse structure that we currently have is a relatively recent form and structure going back into the sort of the 15th, 16th century. Bishop Stephen Langton, who wanted to create a bit of a concordance and wrote lots of commentaries, wanted a structure that broke the text down into sizable chunks that he could write and comment on. And then another chapter later on, he was working on a concordance, so he decided to break it up into a verse structure, which helped people identify and pick out. So the chapter and verses were added for specific reasons at a specific point in time, and they have now evolved into the structure that we're familiar with. And I suppose the slight difference now is the approach that's been taken now is, yes, the chapters have been removed, the verse numbers have been removed. The books have also been rearranged into their chronological order. So the prophets read in sequence as they were written, rather than broken up into major prophets and minor prophets, which was largely done for aesthetic reasons. So somebody who's sitting down, either somebody who's familiar with Scripture can read, for example, one of the volumes is called Messiah. You start at page one and you're reading the story of Luke and Acts, and that takes you right through in a chronological sequence, right through to Paul's letters. If you start with beginnings, you're reading the Pentateuch, you're reading the first five books in sequence, in the chronology that it happened. And I suppose, again, to use the counter to that, for people who are reading stories, you know, one of the examples I've seen is a book, you know, if you take A Tale of Two Cities, you'll sit and you'll read a chapter one and you'll read through to the end of the book. you don't tend to read, you know, the first two paragraphs and then break. So the literary structure that we have within the Bible sometimes can work against us in terms of getting that big panoramic overview of Scripture. Again, the guys who work on Immerse are very keen to say is that this is not replacing. This is to go alongside. I use an analogy for someone who didn't do much at school academically. If I wanted to pass an exam, I went to Cole's study notes. I didn't necessarily read the text first. And I suppose it's a little bit there. Let's read the text first. And it's entire. Let's get the big picture of the text. And then once we have that appreciation, let's then start to dive deep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no, thanks for taking us through that. And I jumped on to one of the webinars that Immerse were doing before the summer. And the thing that kind of caught my attention was this kind of idea of how we've commodified the Bible in some ways, you know, so lots of different versions and, you know, women's Bibles and men's Bibles and youth Bibles and all sorts of different illustrated Bibles. And that might be helpful for some, but actually, you know, in some ways what you're trying to introduce to us again is here is the text and let's keep that central in many ways as well. So, yeah, thanks. When we come back to how we can pick that up in a minute, Valerie, I'm just keen to hear about what you're doing with Precepts Ministry as well, the projects you're involved in there, maybe how you're trying to serve the church in the area of Bible engagement and what you might want to highlight.
Yeah, certainly over COVID, things have, our mission has changed, how we deliver stuff, like everybody has changed, but it's actually been to our benefit because it's made us rethink how we deliver resources. I suppose one of the main things we do is training in Bible skills, Bible study skills. And so we have developed a series, different introductions. So there's one like just half an hour for people who want some help with just their daily reading, or there's a longer one for people who really want to start to study the Bible for themselves. So they don't need to engage with us or use our resources. We just come alongside and offer free training workshops, really just to get people equipped with some basic skills that can get them started to engage with the Bible for themselves. And it's really like giving people a bag of tools that they're able to start getting involved and reading for themselves. The other thing we did over the pandemic, we started writing free downloadable Bible studies. That there's some series that take through Bible book, most, a couple of New Testament letters. There's some standalone, but they're literally two sides of A4 or three sides. And it means then that if people are still have their midweek on Zoom, they literally need to email around the PDF and people can download it at home and use it, and they can use it for their group discussion. And so we've now got an archive of over 40 free downloadable studies. But one of the key things that really struck me was listening to leaders and ministers talk about the disconnect people from church found when they couldn't engage with church routinely, and that we had been very good at developing Christian and churchgoers, but we hadn't been so good at making disciples of Jesus. And a lot of people were quite lost as to how to be a Christian when they didn't have church to go to. That they identified their Christianity with their attendance at church. And so the whole area of what is a disciple of Jesus has been something that's sort of been engaged in my thinking a lot. And I know, Rick, you've just published a book on this whole area. So I know that this is something that's been on your heart, you know, as well. So I did a short series just on the Great Commission and just taking one statement for each of the inductive studies, and was deeply challenged about how I did not understand the Great Commission myself. That, you know, Jesus has done, it's not just for missionary meetings, go into all the world and preach the gospel, but actually he was inviting us to bring people into the intimacy of the Trinity, to baptize them into the Trinity, but then to teach them how to do everything that Jesus commanded, how to listen to his word and act on it, because that's where stability comes, you know. Whoever hears these words of mine and does them is like a man who builds his house on the rock. And right through scripture, you get this whole thing that to hear the word and to act on it is a pathway to stability and to a whole new way of life. And I don't think we're really good at engaging people in that. So moving forward, I feel for us as a ministry that our whole focus is going to really be on our strapline to know God deeply and to live differently. That I feel like it's another move forward for us in a way that it's not just about equipping people with skills, but actually the goal has to be transformation. And like what Richard's doing, we're planning to do Immerse with the Women in our church as a book club. So I'm totally, you know, supportive of that approach as well. But I do think you need both.
Yeah.
Or else I'm out of a job.
Well, no, not just because of that, Valerie. I suppose that's why I was keen to hear from you both today, because I think you are bringing both two really important aspects to the table in terms of Bible engagement. Valerie, in some ways, are you hinting at sort of this idea that maybe we've been spoon-fed a little bit in the church when it comes to the Bible, and almost there's a need for us to learn to feed ourselves? Is that, do you want to unpack that a little or share anything more about that?
Well, I do definitely think that, I mean, I was one of those people. My Bible stayed in my Sunday handbag in those days when you had your handbag for Sunday.
I've never had a Sunday handbag, but that's okay.
Totally disappointed. But I really believe that you cannot engage meaningfully with scripture and not be confronted with God and not demand that your life change. And not everybody wants to do that. You know, like God is so other and he will not fit into my box. And so there's a safety in keeping a safe distance and communicating God through other people. And so I do think we're inviting people to into the reality of really engaging with God for themselves. And I don't think we've been good at that invitation.
Okay. I'm going to give you both a bit of an open goal here. So just, Valerie, tell us how we can access some of the materials or some of the training that you're delivering or putting out there, or how we can engage with you in Precept.
Well, through our website, preceptireland.org, or contact us on our phone or office, or email info@preceptireland.org. And we are very happy to tailor things according to the specific needs of a group. If you're interested in free introductory training to Bible study skills, or we have a variety of resources at different levels of study, from no homework Bible studies to studies that require students to do 5 hours of homework per lesson. And it's quite interesting that those are probably our most popular studies. A lot of people really want to start to study the Bible seriously together. So they're inductive studies that take them through the text, and then you meet with a trained leader.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks. Richard, how can we access Immerse?
Yeah, we're busy building our website at the moment. So Immerse is part of an initiative with Premier. Most people will know Premier through the broadcast work, but it's an initiative within the Premier portfolio. So we're building that link at the moment. So hopefully in the near distant future, it'll be www.premier.org.uk/immerse. You can also just Google Immerse Bible, and you'll find links there. You can Google the Institute for Bible Reading if you want to find out more about it there.
We'll pop some of those links for both of you into the show notes, if you don't mind, and then that means people can contact you. Okay, last question, and this is, again, maybe another open goal for both of you. Whenever you think about this issue, what parts of Scripture come to mind? We like to finish our podcast by just maybe highlighting a piece of Scripture that each contributor has in their heart or in their mind right now. So, Richard, we'll start with you on that.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I've been reading, although the Immerse series is 6 volumes, and although there's one called Beginnings, you don't start with it, you start with Messiah. But for a number of us who have the sets and looking through them, the one that seemed to strike people most is the poets. So from a scripture, just getting lost in some of that poetry in the Psalms at the moment, in that sort of slightly different reading style. So I've been really enjoying that, getting into reading sort of poetry and Psalms as poetry and as Psalms in that sort of free flowing way. So that's one. And the other one, I suppose, is within Messiah, as you start to read through that, the nature and character of what Jesus said, what he did, how he reacted with people. Now, you do obviously get that in reading a normal Bible, but reading it just in this style, again, doesn't replace the other version, but just add this layer of slightly different lens. And it's just been really great to be able to do that. And something I probably wouldn't, had I not come across Immerse, probably never would have given any thought to at all.
Yeah. Valerie, we'll give you the last word.
It's always bad to give me the last word. Once I start on things, I just go on and on and on. But two things came to mind as far as this whole idea of Bible engagement. Nehemiah chapter 8, I think, is a wonderful passage for an example of what Bible engagement could look like. Ezra is standing on a platform with the word of God, and all the people are gathered and they're listening to the word being read. But not only that, the Levites are in among the crowd, making sure that they understand what they're hearing. And then as they begin to understand what they're hearing, they start to respond to that truth, and the community is changed, and they start to observe the feasts that they haven't observed for years. And so to me, there's a fantastic model in Nehemiah chapter 8, that they come to the key verse right in the center there is, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That they come to realize who they are, that they're God's joy. And the community is changed by being gathered together around the word. And I have that wonderful vision for a church that, yes, it's read from the front, but in among the crowd, there are people working with the people, making sure that they understand what they have heard. And then there's this response that changes that community. So I think there's a lot in that that we could learn for a model for a church. And the other thing that's striking me personally, I'm doing a dissertation at the moment on listening to the voice of God. And in that, the thing is that God so longs to be heard. And that really, how humble he is at waiting for us to come and to listen. And he could invade our lives in any way, but he waits to be listened. And it's Revelation 3:20 is a verse that has really touched my heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And it's just the humility of God standing at the door of the church and at the door of us, knocking, wanting us to hear him, wanting us to listen to him. And I do think that God so longs for conversation and communion with us, and he's chosen to write the words of scripture in order that we might hear his voice. And it's an open feast. So those are just two of the things that are on my heart with this whole thing about Bible engagement.
Okay, well, Valerie, that's a really rich thought to finish on, although I'm slightly devastated. I preached on Nehemiah 8 last Sunday, so I wish I'd had some of your thoughts before then. But hey, that's okay. Both of you, thanks so much, not just for contributing today, but thanks for what you're doing and bringing to the church. You're both bringing helpful perspectives and resourcing and training as well. So we appreciate that, and hope our listeners are encouraged in that as well. Thanks. So thanks to Valerie and Richard for their insights on this episode. And before I go, I just wanted to plug one simple resource that PCI have developed over the past number of years to offer Bible devotions to people right across our denomination and beyond as well. It's called Tides. And Tides is PCI's digital devotional resource, which is received by members of all ages from right across Ireland. Via a short email each weekday morning, Tides offers a Bible passage to read, a reflection on that part of God's word, and a practical way to respond. The content is written by contributors from within the Presbyterian Church in Ireland, a different contributor each week, and it's currently accessed by around 4,000 subscribers. So if you're hungry to read God's word and reflect on what he's saying through it, then you can join this growing movement of Bible reading. by registering at presbyterianireland.org/tides. But for now, and until next time, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to a podcast from the Presbyterian Church in Ireland. Thanks for joining us.